Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, and that's what it means. Family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, and made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're sliced that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man, one new humanity, one new species of being, which Paul says in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. This is why Jesus came, to break down that wall between these two covenant people groups of God, to form what, it doesn't actually say this, but this is what my spirit says it says. It says in Ephesians 2nd and the last sentence, to make a complete dwelling place of God by his spirit. It's as if the church is incomplete without Jewish believers in Jesus, and incomplete without Gentile believers in Jesus. But when these two people groups of God merge into one new species of being, we're going to see what Jesus prophesied when he said, you'll see the same works that I have done and even greater. Well, as you know, because I've said this on the air, I went down to the Bay of the Holy Spirit revival in Mobile, Alabama. And I was so pleasantly surprised. And I got to meet Pastor Kilpatrick, who also was the one that God used for the Brownsville revival. And I got to meet the evangelist, Nathan Morris, and I interviewed both of them. And there was one person I didn't meet. And this person walks in humility, so she wouldn't say it, but I'll say it. Without worship, I don't know that they would be having the revival that they're having. She's the worship leader, Lydia Stanley, and Lydia said she didn't have a chance to meet me when I was down there. And Lydia, why did you tell me you didn't meet me?
Well, at that time, you were very, very busy shaking on the floor under the power. I did not get to meet you when you came.
Well, Lydia, I am fascinated by what God did to cause you to be the worship leader of this great move of God's Spirit called the Bay of the Holy Spirit Revival. And let me take you back to before you were even born. Your parents could not conceive. And so they were at a meeting. And in fact, I believe they were leading worship, and a prophet from Ghana prophesied over them. And tell me what they told you.
Absolutely. Mom and Dad had been leading worship that night. And at that point, I think they had been trying to have a baby for about 2 years, and of course, with no success. And so in the course of that meeting, my mom just kind of sat down on the piano bench next to my dad, and the prophet came over to her and said, by this time next year, there will be a red rose seated at your feet. And Mom just knew in her heart that that meant she would have a baby girl. And so it was only by that time next year, of course, there I was. And
Just out of curiosity, was there a little bit more to that that I don't know? Did he have any vision? Did he see a red rose?
Yes, sir. He actually saw, he could see the red rose. He was having a vision of the red rose, seated at Mom's feet. And so he said, yeah, by this time next year, you'll hold a red rose. And so then by that time next year, of course, I was born. And even while I was in the mother's womb, Mom and Dad would play the piano and sing to me. They're amazing worship leaders in their own right. And they would sing over me and teach me music even in the womb. And so that's just kind of been, that's my heritage. Worship is my heritage.
And although your whole family are worshipers, they began to bless you as you're just a little child and tell you about your destiny and your purpose. Do you remember some of the things they said to you?
You know, even from the first time I ever felt God's presence, I was probably 2 years old, and my grandmother was...
You know, when I was 2 years old, I wasn't even sure there was a God. And you're feeling God's presence at 2 years old.
I'm telling you. Well, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, I can remember it just as clear as anything. I remember my grandmother holding me in a rocking chair. And she's probably trying to get me to take a nap because I was one of those full-time kids. I mean, you see me lead worship, I'm fully involved, and I was fully involved from the time I was born. So she was holding me, and she was singing over me about the Lord passing this way. It was a song about, you know, calling for the Lord to pass this way. And as she sang, I remember feeling something. Of course, I was too young to know what it was, and I was like, my eyes must have shown, you know, that I was sensing something. And she looked at me and she said, baby, that is the presence of the Lord. That's what you're feeling right now. And I went, wow. And that's my first memory of that. But all along, when I was a little girl, they would tell me, they never called me to be a worship leader. You know, they never told me, you know, this is something you have to do. But from the earliest I can remember, they would look at me and say, the Lord's destined you for ministry. You're not like other kids. You're not better than other kids, but you're different. Because God has called you to the minute you know that you're called. There's a call on your life, and the hand of God is on you. And I, from the time I was a little girl, they've told me that. They told me and my brother that.
Now, when you were much older, 12 years old, your parents take you to the great Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. You had never sat through a service that long. Tell me about that first service.
Well, it was about 4 or 5 hours long. I mean, we were astonished because we had gotten a bit religious, and we, you know, 4 hour services. My goodness, we couldn't even imagine it.
I mean, that's going against the trend. Secret services in and out in 1 hour, or the pastor will lose his job. But go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, the Lord used to move at our church, but never for 4 hours. My goodness, we were just astonished. But I'll never forget. I mean, you could it felt as though the air were thick, just thick, like you could cut it with a knife. That's how tangible the presence of the Lord was. And, you know, we had felt the presence of the Lord, but never like that. And I remember, you know, my brother and I, we were young. I was 12 and he was 7, and we were ready to go home. And Steve Hill, the evangelist, said, you know, first timers, let's pray for the first time visitors. And Dad was going to go down by himself, but he turned around and looked at Mom and he said, no, we came as a family and we're going to get prayer as a family. And I'm so glad that he did that because, I mean, it changed our lives. We went down front, and actually Steve was explaining to everyone that don't let anyone pray for you unless they have a purple badge that indicates they're with the prayer team. And he was looking in the opposite direction from where we were standing. But suddenly, and without any kind of warning, he spun around, pointed at my dad, and said, sir, the anointing is raining all over you and your family. And Dad just said, well, okay, you know, thank you. And so Steve turned around to finish his instructions for prayer, and he tried to finish it, but he couldn't. He turned around and said, no, I said it's raining all over you and your family. And he raced off the platform, as only Steve Hill could do. And the first person he touched in the family was me, and he took my face in his hands, and he said, sis, the anointing's all over you, and it's going to carry you through. And I was hit by the power of God, and I was on the floor for quite some time. I couldn't.
Now, was this different than what you'd ever experienced before?
I had never experienced anything like that before. I mean, I could not get up. It was a heavy, weighty presence of the Lord on me, and I looked up and I said, Mom, I can't move.
Well, you know, the Hebrew word is kavod, which means a heavy weight. A weightiness. And when the kavod in Orthodox Judaism, they don't even realize it. When the kavod comes on Orthodox Jews, they start bending over because they can't stand straight.
You can't. When that heavy presence comes, you can't stand. No, you can't do it.
Now, your brother Philip, he had an encounter there. What did he see? And how old was he?
My brother was 7. Philip is an awesome guy, and he was always a very matter-of-fact kid, not demonstrative, never making up stories. He's just not that kind of person. Even from a little boy, that he was just always pretty straightforward, you know. And so my dad and I had both been hit by the power of God, and we were actually on the floor. My mother was still standing, and she was just crying and praying, and my brother was standing with her. He started pulling on her sleeve, and he said, "Mom, Mama." And she said, "You know, baby, Mom's praying," you know. Tried to kind of shush him because she just thought he was, you know, going to say something right. Not significant. And so he kept on, and he said, "Mom, I see golden rain falling all around us. And Jesus is over there, and he's smiling at us." And he put his hand in his pocket, and he said, "What is going on here?"
How old was he?
He was only 7 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
He'd never said anything like that before, and he's never said anything like that since, but that's what happened to him that night. And it just struck her, like, oh, my goodness, my son has seen the Lord in his church. It was amazing. And that was our introduction to revival.
Well, and you used to travel every month to go to a meeting there, and it was about what? From coming from Augusta, Georgia, about 500 miles each way?
Yes, sir. One way, it was 500.
Your family must have been hungry for God.
And when you're hungry for God, you will do anything.
Well, we're talking to people and we're provoking them to jealousy, Lydia. And they all would like to go to the revival Mobile, Alabama. They all would have liked to have gone to the revival in Pensacola, Florida, and the Brownsville revival. And even better than go to it, they all would like to have been there every night and soak in that glory. And they'd all turn out like you. But you know what? I listened to your CD, which was recorded live with that anointing, the best of the best songs that you've had at the Bay of the Holy Spirit revival, and then 4 DVDs, and we were so pleasantly surprised with the 4 DVDs called Revival Rewind, because it's the best of the best. It shows the whole history. It shows miracles taking place. But I have to tell you, I was just playing the DVD in my office, and several of my staff came in, and they could feel the tangible presence of God. I believe that if someone gets your worship CD and they get these 4 DVDs and they have this going 24/7 in their house, they're going to have the same thing you guys got out at the Mobile, Alabama revival. I really believe that. We're making the 4 DVDs and this very, very special CD of a young woman chosen by God to bring you into the high points of worship. It's called Bay of the Holy Spirit Revival Worship Live. All 4 DVDs and the CD available for a gift of $45. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.